Good evening. This is the KRFP Evening Report for Wednesday, August 12, 2015. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. Idaho Transportation Department to release final environmental impact statement on U.S. Highway 95 widening and realignment plan for south of Moscow on Friday. Envision Spokane responds to City of Spokane lawsuit against their ballot measure. Washington committee votes against moving the Washington presidential primary to March, and the Idaho Public Utility Commission begins process of adding a new area code to Idaho's 208. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. Fire officials have given a mandatory evacuation order for some residents of a rural area near Kamiai because of the Lawyers Complex of fires burning there. Late this afternoon, the Stage 3 evacuation order was issued for people living east of State Highway 64 between milepost 30 and a 3-mile corridor immediately west of State Highway 162. And also for residents on Highway 162 north of Thorn Springs Road and south of Lawyer Creek Road in the Flying Bee Ranch area. Other residents of the area, such as those east of Highway 64, are under a Stage 2 evacuation order, meaning they should be prepared to leave at a moment's notice. U.S. Highway 12 near Greer Grade Road is reduced to one lane with a guide car due to low visibility in the area. Smoke from wildfires in the region has caused periods of unhealthy air quality in the area. At this time, the Idaho Department of Environmental Quality Air Quality Monitor says air quality in Moscow and Lewiston is moderate, while the air quality in Julietta, Orofino, and Grangeville is unhealthy. The Washington Department of Ecology reports moderate air quality in Pullman and Clarkston. A short midday storm blew through the Palouse area today, downing tree branches in Moscow and Pullman, but bringing little rain and little or no lightning. The National Weather Service this morning issued a heat advisory for eastern Washington in the Palouse and the Spokane area, which began at noon today and will end tomorrow at 8 p.m. Forecasters expect high temperatures ranging from the upper 90s into the hundreds with little relief overnight. Forecasters say near record temperatures contributing to dry and unstable conditions are expected to increase risk of heat-related illnesses like heat exhaustion. They advise people to drink plenty of fluids to reduce time in the sun and check up on neighbors and relatives. The Idaho Transportation Department will release the final environmental impact statement on the widening of U.S. Highway 95 south of Moscow Friday. The plan to widen the 6 remaining miles of the 2-lane highway between Moscow and Lewiston has been controversial because of the Transportation Department's insistence in supporting an eastern route for the 4-lane highway along the flank of Paradise Ridge during the draft environmental impact statement process. There are 2 other routes officially under consideration: a central route, which more closely follows the current route of U.S. Highway 95 into Moscow, and a western route near the Washington state line. All 3 routes end where the current U.S. 95 enters the Moscow city limits to the south. The Federal Highway Administration will make the final decision. The Paradise Ridge Defense Coalition sued 12 years ago, forcing the Idaho Transportation Department to do an environmental impact statement addressing the pros and cons of each proposed route, and the organization is expected to sue again if the Federal Highway Administration chooses the eastern alignment. Paradise Ridge Defense Coalition Secretary Mary Ulrich said in an email to members today, "The PRDC board received news yesterday from our attorney that Idaho Transportation Department has the final environmental impact statement ready and we should be able to access it on their website after this Friday. The publishing of the FEIS will begin the 30-day period, after which we must file a lawsuit if our attorneys find we have a strong enough case. Ulrich wrote in an email to the organization's board, she learned from Idaho Transportation Department District 2 Senior Planner Ken Helm, the ITD is sending out a letter and CD containing the final environmental impact statement to all participants today, and the ITD would send out copies to agencies as well. Ulrich said, Helm told her paper copies would be available for review at the Moscow Public Library, the Chamber of Commerce, and Moscow City Hall. The Paradise Ridge Defense Coalition contends the higher elevation eastern alignment for US 95 would be less safe than the central or western alignments because of frequent ice fog, longer periods of freezing temperatures, higher winds, and higher potential for big game collisions on the highway. The coalition also contends land disturbances related to building the road will cause invasive weeds to spread into some of the most intact native Palouse prairie habitat in the region, located less than a mile away from the planned realignment on Paradise Ridge. Several specimens of the extremely rare giant Palouse earthworm have recently been found on the ridge. The organization also contends the Idaho Transportation Department's weather study for the draft environmental impact statement was flawed because it was done in a winter period of a year with virtually no snow. They also contend the draft environmental impact statement misstated the number of residences that would be forced to move or impacted under each alignment scenario, favoring the eastern alignment proposal. The Paradise Ridge Defense Coalition also counters arguments that the delay in building a safer four-lane highway due to their lawsuit has caused many serious accidents by saying the Idaho Transportation Department has had the power and has declined during the last 12 years to lower the speed limit on the remaining two-lane segment of U.S. Highway 95 south of Moscow, especially at Reisenauer Hill, where many of the accidents occur. The Idaho Transportation Department's draft environmental impact statement, released in 2012, says the eastern alignment would be slightly safer than the central alignment, mainly because the eastern route would have less connecting roads and would be straighter. The Defense Coalition notes the existing two-lane section of US 95 would become a county road after an eastern alignment is built, with similar accident dangers for the local traffic that continues using the road. The group behind the Workers' Bill of Rights initiative in Spokane has filed court documents arguing Mayor David Condon does not have the authority to try to block their measure from the Spokane ballot in November. Condon made the decision for the city to file a lawsuit to prevent Envision Spokane's ballot measure from going before voters, arguing its provisions limiting corporate powers exceeds the jurisdictional limits of the initiative process. If passed, the Workers' Bill of Rights would change the city charter to require large employers to pay what they call a family wage, to require equal pay between genders, and add protections against wrongful firings. The initiative would also state corporate rights are secondary to citizens' rights. In its response to the lawsuit, Envision Spokane said city law requires a supermajority of 5 city council members to vote to challenge an initiative or referendum measure. City law also says the city council or city administration can challenge an initiative as illegal or unconstitutional only after the city has adopted a resolution directing the county auditor to put it on the ballot. In late July, the Spokane City Council reluctantly agreed to put the measure on the ballot, but also voted 4-3 to put 2 advisory votes next to the Envision Spokane initiative. One asks whether the city should raise taxes to pay for implementing the measure if passed, and the second asks if city services should be cut to pay for implementing the measure. The advisory questions do not indicate whether or not it would be necessary to raise taxes or cut city services in order to implement the measure. Envision Spokane could have two Bill of Rights measures on the November ballot. Envision Spokane's Community Bill of Rights, which is more broad than the Workers' Bill of Rights, was booted from the 2013 ballot after a coalition including Avista, large business interests, city council members, and county officials sued to keep it from going before city voters. An appellate court recently reversed that decision, saying the Community Bill of Rights must go before voters on the next available ballot, which would be in November. Envision Spokane had nearly passed a Community Bill of Rights in 2011, getting about 49% of the city vote. A previous Community Bill of Rights measure lost in the city by a wide margin in 2009. You're listening to the KRFP Evening Report. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman. A special committee appointed by the Washington legislature with the power to move state primary dates voted yesterday against a Republican plan to move 2016 presidential primaries to March 8th. The measure needed a two-thirds majority on the committee to pass, but Democrats on the bipartisan committee voted against it. The committee also voted against a proposal to move the primary to March 24th. In Washington, Republicans allocate half the delegates to their national convention using caucuses and the other half using the results of the primary, which is currently scheduled for late May. Democrats in Washington use only caucus results to select delegates to the national convention. The Washington caucuses are scheduled for Saturday, March 26. State Republican Party Chair Susan Hutchinson argued caucuses are a relic of the past and accused Democrats of having a low regard for voters' intelligence. Democratic Committee Member Representative Sam Hunt of Olympia has proposed scrapping the state's primary altogether, a move which would save the state $11.5 million. The committee did not vote on that proposal at yesterday's meeting. However, the legislature could take up the issue when it meets again early next year. The Idaho Public Utilities Commission announced yesterday they have requested to begin a 16-month implementation process for a second area code. The commission will be taking public input. Idaho's 208 area code is expected to run out of numbers by the middle of 2018. Commission spokesperson Gene Fadness said Idaho will probably adopt a new area code that will overlay existing 208 users instead of splitting the state into two geographic area codes, something telecommunications companies operating in the state do not favor. Under that plan, those who currently have 208 numbers will keep their numbers and new phone lines will be assigned the new area code. Fadness said, "It's just been found to be much easier to get people to adjust to 10-digit dialing than to ask half the state to change their phone numbers, to change their business cards, and to change their advertising. Generally, only landline users may omit dialing the area code when calling numbers within their area code. Idaho is one of 12 remaining states with a single area code. Six of those states are currently considering adding a new area code." Fadness said, "We're not expecting a lot of change, especially for people who have programmable phones." The white supremacist American Freedom Party targeted registered Idaho voters with automated calls recently, warning of an impending invasion of, quote, non-whites, unquote, to regions in Idaho. The recorded messages concluded with an appeal for support for their 2016 presidential candidate, Bob Whitaker. The warning was in response to a June Idaho Statesman column written by Boise Mayor David Bieder, in which Bieder wrote of resettlement programs in Boise and Twin Falls, which he said help bring refugees from overseas and benefit the local communities. Bieder wrote, "There is no question that embracing diversity and people of all races, creeds, colors, faiths, backgrounds, and sexual orientation is the morally right thing to do. Equally certain is that it makes unquestioned business sense." The Idaho Transportation Department has released a statement saying State Highway 6 north of Harvard will be closed from midnight Thursday, August 20th, to midnight Sunday, August 23rd, for culvert replacement. Travelers should expect 15-minute delays as flaggers let traffic through one direction at a time at milepost 13. The U.S. Department of Energy has given Idaho a two-month deadline to waive parts of an agreement to clean up nuclear waste at the Idaho National Laboratory or else lose out on a proposed shipment of spent nuclear fuel rods. Some state officials point out the proposed highly radioactive shipment will bring millions of dollars into the state in research money. However, the federal agency has failed to fulfill its agreement to clean up nuclear waste already at INL. If the deadline is not met, the Department of Energy says it will send the controversial shipments elsewhere. Well, that's it for the KRFP evening report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather from the National Weather Service. There's a heat advisory in effect until 8 o'clock tomorrow night. 30% chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms before midnight tonight. Areas of smoke before midnight. Partly cloudy, low 61. Mostly sunny and hot tomorrow, high 99. 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms Thursday night, mainly before midnight. Mostly cloudy, low 61. A 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms on Friday. Some storms could be severe with large hail and gusty winds. Otherwise, partly sunny, high 84. West winds 10 to 15, increasing to 15 to 20 in the afternoon with gusts up to 35 miles an hour. A 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms before midnight Friday night. Some storms could produce gusty winds, partly cloudy, low 54 and breezy. West winds 15 to 25, gusts up to 35. Saturday through Sunday, mostly clear weather. Highs 78 Saturday, 83 on Sunday, low 53 Saturday night. Currently 96 degrees under fair skies at the Pullman-Moscow Regional Airport. The Idaho Department of Environmental Quality and the Washington Department of Ecology have issued smoke advisories, air quality alerts. Wildfire smoke is contributing to elevated air quality concentrations in the area. Air quality is currently in a moderate category at many locations, with some local in the hazardous category in some areas. Forecasters say the air quality will remain moderate to unhealthy for sensitive groups at times through Friday morning. A cold front will move through the region Friday, bringing windy conditions, which will likely push all of the smoke out of the region. And the Idaho Department of Environmental Quality real-time air quality monitor reports unhealthy conditions in Grangeville, Orofino, in the Julietta area as well, and moderate conditions in Lewiston, Genesee, and Moscow, with good conditions to the north in Plummer. The Washington State Air Monitoring shows moderate air quality in Pullman, and an update from about a half hour ago, the air quality in Clarkston is now unhealthy for sensitive groups. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscast you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events and the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on KRFP, be sure to become a member of KRFP. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for low income, and students. You can mail your memberships to KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. That's KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. Or you can go to the KRFP website to find out more ways to help KRFP. I'm Lee Robartis. Scott Jackson assisted with tonight's newscast. Remember, you can hear all editions of the KRFP Evening Report, which are archived shortly after broadcast on the KRFP website. Have a good night. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman, community radio for the Palouse. Between the Lines is next, followed by Flashpoints and This Way Out. And at 8 o'clock, music begins with World Waves, World Music with Catherine Bonzo.